Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. All right, be honest here with me. Do you have head trash when it comes to sales? Do you hold back? Do you dilly-dally? That's okay, we all started that way. And on today's show, we are gonna have Joe Marcoux, the sales expert, walk us through how to become better at sales and persuading people to invest in us so that we can grow our businesses and live the life of our dreams. Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio, and let's jump into the show with returning guest, Joe Marcoux. Joe Marcoux, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Craig. It's an honor to be here, man.
I almost said Joe Marcoux, welcome back to the shoe.
That's it, man. Yeah, but you know it's ooh, like the guess who, right?
I think the first time you corrected me was maybe on the first time we had you on the podcast over a year ago. I remember you explaining it. It is Joe Marcoux, because Joe's name is, for everyone listening, is spelled M-R-C-O-U-X. And
that's right.
I think the default is Marco.
Yeah. I've had my Marco, and I'm not kidding. True story. Real quick. I'm in the Denver airport and they're saying, Joe Moorcox, please come. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm walking up and everybody's looking at Joe Moorcox. And I'm like, sorry, everybody, no Moorcox here. And everybody burst out laughing. I mean, it's a true story.
That is really, really funny. Now, I thought you just ran over there because you wanted to see a guy named Joe Moorcox. But anyways, you know, I get Ballantyne a lot, which is very confusing because, like, show me another word in the English language where T-Y-N-E is pronounced teen. I've never seen it. It's clearly tine. Anyways, I get it all the time. And the weirdest story I had around my name was I was at the Ballantyne Hotel. This is an actual hotel in just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a very nice hotel, great golf course. And the lady asked me how to pronounce my name.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She looked at my ID and asked me how to pronounce my name. Now, maybe that was a courtesy or something, but it didn't seem that way. Anyways.
Don't you know we own this place?
Yeah, right. Right. It's my hotel. How do you pronounce it? So Joe, the last time you were on the show, I know we talked about sales and we're going to go even deeper on it this time. So in 2020, the year of the ultimate pivot for most people, you did an amazing pivot. So why don't you tell us give us the full story. What was business like when you came to the Empire Summit in August of 2019, and then give us how business was looking and looking and looking and how it changed in March of 2020. And then we'll talk about how you responded.
Yeah, that's, you know what? It's funny because when I went to the Empire Summit, I knew I needed help and I was curious about getting coaching. And so, you know, like, and you had such an incredible list of speakers at that event. It was fantastic. And then that's where you and I connected for the very first time. And I knew right then and there after hearing you speak and Bedro speak, and you know, there were some other great speakers there. We connected and I was like, I got to work with this guy. This guy's going to be able to help me. And I was traveling. I was already doing work in the area. I mean, I'm from Winnipeg and I was working in San Diego and then I was up in Huntington Beach and then I was doing some speaking engagements like all over North America. And
You were going right to Huntington, weren't you?
Yeah. From there, I was going up to HB and then after that, San Francisco, and then up to Washington. And the crazy part of it all is like 2020, I had 144 days of business travel booked. And that was, which, you know, what keep going through my mind back then was I needed to do it all. I needed to be the guy. And it was a lot of one and done. And, you know, interestingly enough, I put a post out recently about this where it's like, you can't build your business on one night stands. You've got to build your business on long-term relationships. And think of the concept of a one night stand. So I was doing like 144 one night stands, and it's the, you know, a lot of people were saying, wow, you're on these airplanes and you're living in hotels and blah. And it's this lavish lifestyle. And you and I both know, Craig, there's nothing lavish about it. And so
there's very little lavish about it. That's for sure.
And I remember you going, "Hey, you're working how long? And you're away from your family how much?" And then the pandemic hit and I was making very good money. It's like, to, you know, bite your nose to spite your face kind of stuff. And then the pandemic hits. So all of my gigs are live, not online. And then it's so, of course, like it's panic mode. I'm still coaching with you. And I'm like, I don't know what to do here, because I've got all these gigs that are lined up and I'm not traveling. And I mean, it really got bad. I didn't share this last time I was on your show. It was so bad because, again, I needed to be there or I wasn't making money.
Right. You didn't really have a business. You had a high paying job that revolved around manual labor of your great speaking.
Correct. And granted, like at that time, 35 or almost 35 years worth of experience. However, who cares? If I couldn't be there, I couldn't get paid.
Right.
And so suddenly everything goes on hold. And then I'm at home, and in Canada, we had this, COVID emergency relief benefit. So called the CERB. So like,
literally, I never realized that's how it was actually spent out.
I believe that's what it was.
Got it. I never understood what CERB stood for.
So for 8 weeks or for 2 months, I'm like, well, like I had over six figures of stuff booked and now I've got no money.
Yeah.
And I'm like in panic mode. And, you know, and today I've got three different businesses, you know, that you and I've worked on. And what's great is like, I don't work half as much as I was working before, and I'm making more than triple the amount of money that I'm making.
So no, like, more one night stands. It's all long-term relationships. Oh, no, right? Yeah, like most of that's recurring revenue.
All of it is.
Got it.
All of it is. This was the big turning point. And I mean, I was admittedly still getting coaching from you, and I hit a depression. I'm taking a government subsidy, which is completely like, I mean, I feel like something's sticking to me right now when I think of it. Yeah. And it's like, not to say that, you know, people can't, I took advantage of it, and that it got to a point where I was in like, why the F am I doing this? And here's the worst part. We would, like, I don't drink during the week. I have one of my rules is don't drink during the week. I have like a day where, yeah. And I'm not saying I'm drinking to excess. It's just like, no, these are the days that I will, or the day that I will, because I don't work the next day.
Yeah.
And I need to be at the top of my game. It's important because people are paying me. And so back then I didn't have any work. So guess what? I'm drinking every day and like drinking every day. And then all of a sudden I've catch myself drinking banana liqueur, and I'm going, who drinks this?
Yeah.
And
because that was all that was left.
Yeah. We drank it all out. Right. And I'm like, what am I doing? And then I got on a call with you, and literally within 3 weeks of that call, I had my first webinar on talking about the benefits of handling objections. I got two people to sign up for the SOS dojo. And it was the conversations that you and I had, and it was like, hey, Joe, you got to do something. And it was literally your kick in the ass that got me to just, okay, take action already, even if it was imperfect. And it was in hindsight, I look at it now, and it was a terrible webinar. Still had 44 people show up
to
my first ever webinar. I used old America Online, like AOL.com email lists. Like, you know, 90% of those people don't even exist. Didn't matter. It had 44 people show up, two people sign up.
That's great.
And that was the beginning of recurring revenue. And then suddenly it was like, we're on to something here. And then it was, and what's interesting is those two people are still in the dojo today.
That's amazing.
Yeah. 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 It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. And now we've been able to grow our member base, and it's, and with the power of referrals, that's been great. I haven't been advertising yet. It's all been organic growth and people coming back out of the ether like out of the woodwork from years ago are now refinding me on whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. And they're reaching out, and now we're doing it on Zoom as opposed to having me come in. And it's been great because I can leverage my time, and now I've got staff. Now I've got teams who are doing it with me and for me. They're delivering, they're fulfilling, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, this entire story just makes me really, really happy. You know, it brings a warmth to my heart, kind of tears to my eyes even, because it's like, listen, this is exactly how, you know, help is supposed to work. You know, it's like, okay, listen, I got to get through these 2 months. Great. Then it was like, turn things around and you had success. Now, some people might be confused listening to this because they're thinking, wait a minute. So Joe Marcoux owns a karate studio, because we talked about you having a dojo. So why don't you tell us what's the main high income skill? There's really two of them that you have that have allowed you to do this, and talk about the dojo and what you provide there.
There's no question that the high income skill that I focus on and that I help teach is sales.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a bad connotation of the idea of sales. And I can tell you right now, if you're not able to communicate and influence and persuade people to buy from you, and that's the difference. I don't look at getting people like to close the sale and to the finish line is the end. To me, it's how do I get people to get across the starting line to start working with you? Right? How do I get people to get to that point where they decide and they feel good about making that decision? Because I want to work with Joe. I want to work with Craig. I want to work with that guy or that girl. And I'm helping people do that in their businesses, and it becomes effortless. And so the dojo, we spell it instead of D-O-J-O, because my name's Joe, we go D-O-J-O-E. So it's the Sales Objection System, or SOS, dojo. And people come into the dojo, and instead of a one-night stand, no, you're coming in week after week, and we're stacking different objections. And then we go into sparring practice like you would on a real sales call.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Zoom, is that instead of me doing it live, and I'm not suggesting that we're not going to have live events in the future. We absolutely will, because you know the power of a mastermind and the power of networking. Yeah. It's a no-brainer. You have to go to events, guys. And I say, guys, both ladies and gentlemen, you have to go. That being said, the community that we've built, like we've had people just go over their 52-week, and so the 1 year anniversary of being in the dojo. And I'm not kidding. People are in tears of when we say, we start all of our dojo sessions of, okay, what's your win of the week? What's the wow? And everybody in the group has to share, because the groups are intimate. They're anywhere between 6 to a maximum, usually, of 9 people in the group. So we all get to know each other over time. So what's your win of the week? Well, we just had people going over, what's your win of the year? And literally it's been, this thing changed my business around. And like you, we've been able to help people make more sales, lower their stress, work less, grow their business. Because without sales, you have no money. Without sales, you can't do any philanthropy. Without sales, you can't pay rent. You can't pay for ads. You don't have sales, you don't have a business.
Well, you are building the home of your dreams. So right now you're in your lakefront cottage and you're building a home just down the road from there.
Yeah, literally it's down the water. So you can't see right now, and it's raining out right now. That's okay. Even in the rain, this place is absolutely gorgeous. We're on Lake of the Woods in Kenora, Ontario, and it's paradise, man. I mean, that's great. Awesome. Fishing, rocks and trees and gorgeous water and quiet. And it's just fantastic. And we have incredible internet, so I can work from here. I mean, I'm living the dream, man. Living the dream. So yeah, down the way, we bought an acre and a half, and it's on a rise, and we have the plans for our dream home. And I told you right before we started, I showed you a couple of photos of my daughter who just got married. I mean, we're already thinking in the future, there's going to be a time where we're going to have little people running around, and you know, Shauna and I are going to be grandparents. So that's, I talk about having a powerful why, and so do you. I mean, Simon Sinek, start with why. Why am I getting out of bed? For me, I get out of bed at 5:30. That's my, and I do my magic time. And if you haven't picked up the perfect day formula by now, go do it. And Craig, you know this. I buy copies of the perfect day formula for everybody who does my Army of One sales training program. Like, it's like, this is prerequisite reading. I buy it for them. They have to use it. And absolutely. And so you know, my magic time is then. Well, I visualize in part of my morning meditation, like Sean and I, we can see the house because we've got the plans. We've already got the plans. We can see each room. And so, yeah, the little people are going to be running around and the fit, like this space is all about family. That's a why. Why are we doing this work? It's not just the money. The money is a byproduct of making a difference in people's lives and yeah, then getting to that. Powerful.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. How would you describe your sales philosophy in a sentence or two?
Helping people communicate with authenticity, integrity, and ethics. That's literally my approach. And it seems, you know, it's interesting. We just had a dojo this week where we were talking about empathy. And when you think of integrity and ethics, that's one thing. A lot of people say, oh yeah, we're going to show you how to sell without being slimy. How about having a conversation with somebody and being able to come from a place of empathy? Because sometimes people are saying, like, there's a difference between I don't have the time and now is not the right time. I don't have the time is somebody giving you a smokescreen, and we need to be authentic and be assertive, not being pushy. And there's a difference, right? You can be passive and you can be aggressive, or you can meet in the middle and go, I'm going to be assertive, play my A game and be my authority and say, you know what? You got on this call with me for a reason. And on a scale of 1 to 10, tell me how important is it for you to be able to reach that goal that you talked about to me earlier about it. And they'll tell you, if they're on the call with you, the number's 8, 9, or 10. So then the question becomes, then how does not doing this with me, or how does not buying this product or coming onto this program serve you? How does not doing this serve you right now? Well, for me, that's the goal. It's like, if I'm a coach, it's my job then to say, you know what? Do I have permission to coach you for a quick moment? And you've taught this. I'm going to lean into that conversation, because if I'm on the call with somebody, I'm going to then ask, do I have permission to coach you for a quick moment? And any of you coaches listening right now, if you're not sure, that's the opportunity for you to lean into the tough conversation and say, listen, you got on this call, and they're going to say yes, right? The prospect's going to say, sure, because they're going to take the free coaching. Good. As your coach, I'm kind of befuddled right now. You got on this call and you told me earlier, if you did a good job of discovery, this pain point. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for you to be able to solve that pain point? And then they're going to tell you it's 8, 9, or 10, because they're already on the call. If it ain't important, then you're not coachable. Move on. Like, really?
Yeah. Man, that's powerful. Now, how the heck did you get started in sales?
Oh, this is great. You're asking good questions, brother. I love it. I was 15 when I started lifting weights.
They're on the same age as me.
I'm 5'9". I had somebody in the dojo recently ask me, so what are you, 6'4"? I'm like, awesome.
No way.
Yeah. I'm in the short class and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know, that's my height, man.
Genetics are what they are. If I come across as being 6'4" and I'm actual 5'9", that tells me a lot about the energy that I'm giving to people. So fantastic. I appreciated that. And this woman, Michelle, is a sweetheart, which is also fantastic. So I started lifting weights at 15, and I had a huge interest in fitness and how it changed my life. And at the age of 18, I was given the opportunity to manage a specialty fitness equipment store in Winnipeg. By the age of 20, I was given the opportunity to either buy into the store, and there were too many ladles in that soup. So I said, forget it. I'm going to open up my own, literally at 20 years old. And I think about it. I mean, I've got kids that are in their 20s and one that's 30. And no way they wouldn't do it. And I'm thinking at 20, like how many 20-year-olds, and I'm not saying that to impress anybody. I was just so driven to go out and go, this is what this did for me. I want to help people. And it was all high end. It was like high end exercise equipment. And by the age of 25, I did a merger with my store, which back then was called Precision Fitness. And we merged with a company called Fitness Depot in Canada. And we were the 7th or 8th location. And then within a short period of time, there were 30, within a year and a half, there were 38 locations across Canada. And I was in that when the expansion happened. So I learned a lot about systems and growth and HR, and sales was my thing. I was the top sales guy in my store. I was getting shipped around to help open up new stores. And then I left because of conflict of interest, because I just didn't feel that they were in the same headspace that I was. There was more to it than just the money, and they're still around, and I'm not knocking them. I'm simply saying that there was a philosophical difference that, and some of the people that I had those problems with aren't there anymore anyways. And I'm glad that I had that opportunity. So to answer your question, I started in the fitness industry, exercise equipment, high-end retail, and I had to learn my chops real fast. So then it was Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, T. Harv Eker, which you might remember, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and just a slew of other great teachers. I saw Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn That's was classic. Tony Robbins' coach. And wow. I got an opportunity to see Jim Rohn when I was really young and to talk about impact. And so, yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Mark Victor Hansen. I did several workshops with him. Jack Canfield, which those two guys were chicken soup for the soul. And so, yeah, a lot of good. I didn't have any fear of spending money on education. And I still don't today. I mean, I'm still paying you for coaching, and it's paying off dividends. Huge.
That's amazing, man. Absolutely amazing. Now, when you were a kid, what did you want to be? You probably never thought that you would get into sales.
You know, it's a great question on that, because in grade eight, as we say in Canada, or in eighth grade, we did this thing where it was your career. You filled out this form and it would spit out what your career was going to be. And so the two things that popped out was I was going to be a gym teacher or I was going to be a business person. And so going into fitness and selling exercise equipment really fit the bill. And then of course it morphed from there, because now doing what I'm doing, I mean, I have a lot of different businesses in the dojo and in people hiring me for my sales training in the bicycle industry. You and I met and I was big in the electric bicycle industry, and I've been able to expand well beyond that, which is fantastic. And I worked a niche for a really long time. The bicycle industry has been excellent to me, and I'm still getting asked to go and work with retailers and manufacturers of bicycle brands and their retailers and whatnot. And of course I will. The coaching side and the fitness and personal trainers is, I always go back to where my beginnings were. And it was, I mean, I was doing personal training when that wasn't even a vocation. People go, what, personal trainer? What, are you in Hollywood? And they used to bug me back when I was a kid. And now it's like, I mean, we all know it's a viable living. Of course, now if we can leverage, I'm helping leverage everyone's efforts with my work, I can get to multiple people living a better quality of life through the benefits of exercise. Cause that's still a vision statement that I have on my vision board at home.
That's amazing. Now, then what would you give advice to young people today when it comes to sales? I mean, if I could go back in time, I would tell my younger self to get a job doing face-to-face sales, nose-to-nose, toes-to-toes. I think that's one of the greatest skills of all time. But if somebody wants to learn sales and where to start with sales, or have even the concept of sales, what would you say to those folks, or even folks of my age that are new to it?
Yeah, the one thing that I would encourage is, first thing that I would tell you is, be prepared. It's a steep learning curve. Steep. You're going to learn a lot really quick. Be prepared to not take anything personally. Don Miguel Ruiz talks about this in his book, The Four Agreements. Don't take anything personally. You're going to be told no. And on products and services that sell for $1,000 or more, the statistic is you're going to hear the word no 5 times before you get to a yes. So just understand that, or know that you're going to hear no 5 times at least before you hear the word yes. So understanding that first going in is critical. Then I would, if you wanted to go out and get a job in sales, if you really want to learn it, I mean, yeah, find something that you're passionate about and then go and do sales in that regard. I mean, some people might have, you know, is it consumer electronics? And some people go, oh no, I don't want to go work at one of those places. They're like vultures. Some of these stores have good programs that you can learn from. And so we have this connotation, and I'll ask you this, Craig, when you think of sales, brutal honesty. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word sales, right? Man, you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it's because every time I've ever gone to a sales training session or a presentation, people use the line. When you think of sales, you think of a used car person. Exactly. Like it's just forced into your head, and it's stupid because it's sales trainers that are saying that.
Right. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, I remember, you know, Best Buy, Future Shop, these like Best Buy used to have a terrible reputation in terms of their salespeople, because if you really want to learn and you really want to grow, you can go into a place where you're 100% commission based. Now, of course, the problem with 100% commission based in some cases is the managers, if they're also 100% commission based, they'll eat their young, because they want to make the commission and they take it away from their rookie people. So a manager in a good world would get remunerated on their team's sales, where they help grow their team, as opposed to the manager making commission on sales. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's where good mentorship comes in. I think that the other thing too is, so you take the passion that you have a powerful why, and then get out there and belly to belly, whether it's on the phone, whether it's on Zoom, like there's a need for salespeople. Like a salesperson is somebody who's out, if you're a really good salesperson, understands what are the right questions to ask. And then I have two ears and one mouth, so I'm listening twice as much as I speak. And you got to get one of the things that I would say, and I know it's cliche because I am a coach. If it's not me, go get a coach, get a sales coach. If I got a coach earlier on, and I was a business owner, and I mean, I was reading a lot and watching, back then, VHS tapes and putting cassettes in my car and listening to stuff. Bob Proctor, another one that I did a lot of work with him. Those are things that are extremely helpful. You can't stop learning, because some of the techniques that I did 25 years ago, they don't apply today, Craig. It just doesn't work.
Well, okay, let's dive deeper there, because we have some folks who maybe learned sales training 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 35 years ago. What the heck have you found that clearly does not work in this day and age, for better or for worse?
There's tactics that, as far as, again, I kind of glazed over it quickly. There's a difference between being assertive and aggressive. And I was aggressive when I was younger, and it was the sell at all costs and discounting. I mean, my God, we do a 4-part series in the introduction to the SOS Dojo called "What Kind of Deal Can You Give Me?" It's actually a common question that some people think they're excellent negotiators. Well, we would negotiate at all costs. And a lot of business owners make this fatal mistake. To get the sale, better to get some rather than none. And I disagree with that. Case in point, I'll share with you this story. Here I am in my fitness store. Guy walks in, and he was fully loaded. I mean, we knew just by his vehicle out front, he drove up. I mean, we totally profiled him, and it was my turn. It was my up, right? In retail, that's the way everybody had turns. It was my up. And he walked in and he said, "Show me the best treadmill money could buy." I brought him over to a health club treadmill. Back then there was a brand called Trotter, which is owned now today by Cybex, which is, some people may know that brand. Anyways, I brought him to a health club treadmill for his home. This required an electrician to come over. I mean, it was an $8,000 treadmill. Yeah, you'd go from a 110 to a 220 voltage. It was a big deal. So I showed him an $8,000 treadmill, and I said, and his name was Tony. I'll never forget it. And I said, and again, back then it was sell at all costs, right? In my head, it was like better to get the deal than not. And this is, it's detrimental. And here's why. So Tony, here's a couple of lessons for everybody. Tony said, so I said, "Tony, what do you think? Do you want to take it?" Not a word. He didn't say a freaking word. And I went, "I'll be right back." So
how long?
This lasted longer. For sake of the podcast, I probably had a bead of sweat going down my brow within like 10 seconds. Like he looked at me, and then he looked up into the air, and then he looked back at me, and he was kind of, I mean, he was a sphinx. I couldn't read him. And I'm like, let me go see what I could do. He didn't say anything. So I go to my computer, right? Like, I'm not prepared, like totally brutal, $8,000 unit. Come back and I go, I can give you 10% off. I knock off $800, right? And he does this. Huh. And I say, let me see what I can do. And I leave. Like, I don't ask, like, oh yeah. I go back embarrassingly again. I was 23 at the time. Okay. Sure. So like I'm in my 50s now, kids. So let's be abundantly clear. There's a lesson to be learned here. I discounted it $1,500, $1,500 of profit. Right. And, anyways, I'm literally at my wit's end. So here's the lesson. I've knocked off $1,500 to try to sell a $8,000 health club treadmill to this guy's home. And I'm not making any money on this deal. And I'm like, this is the best I can do. And I'm done. And Tony says, Joe, raises his hand. He says, like, with his hand, he's saying, stop, I'll take it. Right. He literally goes, I'll take it. So I'm now relieved and I'm thinking, well, at least I'm justifying. So like, think of it. I'm making a justification. Well, at least I'm moving merchandise and I'm getting a new client, right? No, totally wrong. Shouldn't have done it. Big mistake. We get to the counter and I'm writing him up and I'm getting his address for delivery. And I mean, that's a gong show in and of itself anyways, because it's a heavy treadmill and it's going to take four guys to deliver it instead of two. So he says, Joe, can I offer you a couple of words of advice? I said,
this is from Tony?
Tony. Yeah, sure, Tony. What's up? He's like, I was going to pay full price. My jaw was like out of like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. King! Like I was like, I had burnt $1,500. And because number one, I was impatient. I had asked him and he didn't say anything. So I immediately started discounting because I thought it was all about price. Like all of these strategies that I had learned previously of close at all costs. And here's the real thing. I was resentful, not of him. Like I could have easily pointed, it's all this guy, Tony's fault. And listen, we all know when you discount, you resent your clients. And really you should be resenting yourself because you're the one who discounted. And a resentment, right? Like the expectation is a resentment in hiding. One of my mentors says that, and it's so true. And Tony wasn't expecting the discount. Here's the crazy part. He said, I was going to pay full price. You just didn't let me figure out which credit card was the best one for me to use on this transaction. And I was screaming an F word as loud as you could possibly scream in the back of my mind at that point. $1,500, kids. I literally like took the lighter and burnt $1,500 because I was impatient. If there's one thing that the old tactics were move quickly, like there's times to move quick in a transaction and there are times to just hit the brakes and allow people to reflect and just be patient. And we teach that. And there's ways to like it. It's such a big lesson. It was as one person I told this story to, he said, that's probably the most effective $1,500 lesson that you got in your career. Because since then, by the way, I've sold and helped other people sell for millions upon millions of dollars of product and services because of that one lesson. I'm not kidding.
That's great. So I'm on the phone with somebody or in person and I say, you know, it's $50,000 to work with.
Yep.
And then they hit the silence button and they just, you know, whether it's on a Zoom, I can see them. Yep. And now I just got to sit there.
It's crickets. And I'm going to give you some gold here. First one is the old school used to be whoever speaks first loses. That's the old school.
Yeah.
My train of thought and my new school is whoever speaks first makes the buying decision. So if you speak first, right? And let's take it even a step back, Craig, and you're really good at this because your facial expression is excellent. If you ask a lot of the listeners right now to mention their price, here's what they usually do. They dilly-dally and they feel bad about it. It's like, yeah, how much is your program? Or how much is this product? And they go, Well, it's okay. Stop. If you don't believe in what you are offering, you have zero conviction. Conviction is the key to believability. Like, what's my why? Okay, well, I've got kids that are coming and grandkids that are coming down the road. That's great. Do I believe in my program? Hell yes. And is my body language and my tone and the conviction that I have believable? Absolutely 100%. Many people who are listening, you guys know who you are. If you lack conviction, your prospect will see it or they will feel it. And suddenly $50,000. Well, it's 50,000. The facial, sorry. Like I don't believe it's worth it.
Yeah.
Where in your case, Craig, it's $50,000. And that's the good news. It's only 50 grand.
Yeah.
And the value that you're going to get is going to be incredible. And then it's, so what do you think? Would you like to join? Or in your case, would you like to do this? And that what you're doing right now, I don't know if you're cognizant of, or not of it. This head movement, and I don't know if people in the podcast world are seeing or if this is going to go up on video. This head movement, when I ask somebody, so Craig, you joining the dojo? I'm saying yes without you hearing me say the word yes. I'm nodding. If you said to me, hey, Joe, what kind of deal can you give me? And I said, hey, Craig, I appreciate that you're looking for a good deal. What exactly do you have in mind? I'm telling you with my yes that I'm saying yes, I'm going to give you a good deal. Flip it around. If you said, hey, Joe, what kind of deal can you give me? And I go, Craig, you know, I appreciate you're looking for a good deal, man. I'm just curious. What exactly did you have in mind? I've been shaking my head no the whole time saying it. So the body language is 55% of the way that we communicate. And people don't teach that. We do, so that you can maximize your sale communication. It's Jedi mind stuff. It truly works.
Yeah, that's super powerful. I love that.
You do it subconsciously, man. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. You're awesome at it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, you're welcome. It. Definitely not natural. Probably came to me from, you know, you've presented to our mastermind so many times. It's been amazing having you as a coaching client, because we get the benefit of sharing the information with so many of our clients. And then so many of my clients become clients of yours. And now we just have people getting the absolute best results they've ever gotten. Are there any other major pieces of head trash that a lot of people have? You mentioned, you know, the dilly-dallying around because they're afraid to ask for the money. You also mentioned, you know, having a bad opinion of sales, which probably leads to the dilly-dallying. Is there anything else in the head trash compartment that is very common when it comes into the dojo, but it's gone within weeks?
I think that, yeah. Well, I mean, for me, one of the best lessons that I've learned from you and your podcast, the Empire Podcast Days partner with Bedros, is those that pay attention.
Got it.
One of the biggest things that the head trash that people, and I went through this as well. People aren't charging enough. And I'm not suggesting that you got to charge so much where you're taking advantage of people. You better be bringing the value for your dollar. There's no question. I've had people in my program, and you've had people in your program. I'm one of them that have experienced it. As I continue to add more and more and more value, I can continue to add more and more to my price, because like the cliche of 10X or 100X is there. And so one of the head games that comes to play here is people don't believe in their pricing and their value. And then once they start to help others, whether it's through a product, I've had people that are selling electric bikes, same thing. It's like, man, I got to increase the price of these bikes. It's like, yeah, you do. Because, and it's not the specs, it's the value that they're bringing with the service and the community that they're, so whether it's product-based or it's service-based, if you don't believe in what you have to offer, man, like you could say, I love helping people. There's a believability piece in it that does come from mindset. That's a big stumbling block. And the other one, Craig, is having, for me, this is big, is if I have on my calendar, I'm looking at my month at a glance calendar. If my calendar is open, it's dangerous. There better be activity going on. Because if I've got too much, like there's free time where I'm just like, okay, it's free time. And that's on purpose. Like I put in Joe time. Like if you guys haven't read the perfect week formula, let alone the perfect day formula, the perfect week formula. One of the things that I've done with my week is I make points. Like, for example, like Friday afternoon, I've got like a 3-hour block where it's Joe time and I can do whatever I want within the Joe time, whether it's I'm going fishing. It's not, and it's during work, quote unquote, work, other people's 9-to-5 work hours. My Joe time is like, if I want to go fishing, I'm going fishing. I do a lot of thinking when I'm fishing, by the way. Yeah. If I want to play on a piece of social media for an hour, like that's Joe time. I can do that guilt free. What I'm talking about is if I have open space where I don't have work, non-urgent important work, which is usually my morning time, or a meeting, a sales call. If I've got too much free time on my hands, Craig, it's dangerous. Because then I start screwing the pooch and I'm not getting stuff done. Yeah. And so it's important for me to, if there's something that's going to help my mindset, like, again, it's not being busy for the sake of being busy. It's being effective with my time. And like the perfect day and perfect week formulas have really been helpful for me to be able to maximize. And what we do in your mastermind has always been great because every time we get back together, I revisit that space and I go, okay, what's the best use of my time? And as I eliminate things, and then I get to maximize my effectiveness. It's not being efficient. Like one of my habits, I still have got a bad habit of checking email too often. And I get this headspace of, I've got to get more email gone. Like, and you taught me, it's like, hey man, let people get used to you replying in 48 hours versus 24 so that you can get your urgent and or non-urgent important work done. And you're absolutely right. Like turn off email. It's valuable. So yeah, as salespeople, we need to be doing what we do best. Sales. So if I'm spending too much time on social media or on email and I'm not selling, boy, it's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. I love that. You know, routines are so powerful. So what is Joe's morning routine, you know, post COVID? You know, you were on the road and so much. So we won't talk about the on the road morning routine, but what does it look like after now you've had over a year to dial it in.
Thanks to you. 5:30 a.m. wake up time.
Yeah.
Well, it starts at 9:44 the night before. 9:44 is my reverse alarm. And then it's like all electronics are turned off and it's either chamomile tea or a good conversation with Double S, AKA Shauna Stevenson, my wife. So we chat, we talk about our day. We have some snuggle time and then we head to bed within that hour. I wake up at 5:30 every day. I've ground the coffee the night before. So I don't wake Sean up I use a Bodum. So coffee grinder goes off the night before. So I have all my stuff, my clothes is put out for my morning workout. Yeah. So I wear my morning workout clothes, even though I don't go work out right away.
Got it.
When I'm here, the way that I do it is here at the lake, it's 5:30. Start the kettle. So it's super quiet. Coffee grinds are in the Bodum. Then I shave. I shave every day. It's one of my morning rituals. Then I'll jump in the lake. Like I don't care how I'm big into cold water immersion. And so it's a quick jump in the lake. I don't sit there for 10 minutes. Jump in the lake, go for a quick swim. I'm in there for maybe 60 seconds to a minute. And like, I'll do this like cold. It's in Canada, eh? And then they come back out and then I get dressed. And then by the time I've got my first cup of coffee and like everything's really ready to go, it's 6 a.m. So within 30 minutes, I'm shaved, showered, sitting down in my work, soon to be workout gear. And for the next 90 minutes, non-urgent important.
Bam.
7:30, Shauna comes in with her cup of coffee and maybe my second one. And we do a meditation together from 7:30 till 8. So we do a reading from a secret card from the movie, The Secret. We do that. And then we do one of three different meditations. We do a money tree meditation. Thank you, Ian Stanley, who was on your the mastermind. We do that one. We do a Wim Hof breathing, or we do a Tony Robbins morning priming.
Oh, that's great.
We do one of those three and we stagger. It's one of those three. 8 a.m., yeah. we have our first meeting. We have an 8 a.m. war room meeting for lead cycles, 5 days a week. So Monday through Friday. So we have that 8 a.m. meeting, and that, you know, and then you've been able to show us the way in terms of how to have good meetings. So if you've never done Craig's program in terms of how to do good meetings, let me tell you, game changer. So we can get meetings done that just some people dilly dally with. We get them done in like 15, 20 minutes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's the routine from 5:30 all the way till about 8:30. And then it's first meetings after that, whether it's sales or whatnot. And I'm usually working out by around 10:30 in the morning, but I'm dressed for it first thing.
Man, that's so similar to my day and very similar to Ben Greenfield, who I had on the podcast as well.
That was just an awesome podcast.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. I love his stuff. I like mind blowing. In fact, yeah. I did Lifebook. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lifebook program. If you have, you got to do the Lifebook.
Cool.
Game changer.
Man, this is so great. This is so great. I have so many more questions, running out of time here. Words of advice for people that are kind of in a sticking point that are like, man, pushed to the edge in business or frustrated with sales. Words of advice for them.
The first thing that comes to mind is a quote from Wayne Dyer, who passed away a few years ago, and he's one of my favorites. The quote is this: surround yourself by the people and the conditions you want to produce. Surround yourself by the people and the conditions you want to produce. If you're in a slump, if things are challenging, are people there that are around you? Like, look at your closest friends. You get to pick your friends. I know you can't pick your family, but you get to pick your friends and or colleagues and or influences. What are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with good people that are lifting you up, that are putting logs on your fire? Or are you surrounding yourself by people that are dragging you down, killing your dreams and pissing on your flames? And you know who they are. And if they're family members, okay, you could just back off a little bit. And if get new friends is definitely the key. Surround yourself, get a coach, get people with good energy, man. That's it. Surround yourself by the people and conditions you want to produce.
I love it. Love it, man. That is really, really fantastic. Never heard that exact quote before, but I really, truly love it. So, Joe, people are probably going, well, how the heck do I get in this dojo? And before we started the official podcast, you were telling me about the last time you were on the show, a personal trainer from Shanghai, beauty of the internet, absolutely amazing, reached out to you, joined your dojo. So, I want more people to be like that personal trainer from Shanghai and reach out to you. So how can they connect with you?
Yeah. If you're curious, if you're interested in what the sales objection system SOS Dojo is all about, you can go to SOS Dojo. That's spelled SOSDOJOE.com. And you can make a request to come in for an absolutely free session. You could come in and observe how we do it in our groups. You can come in and participate. That's how we want people to learn what it's about. This way you can actually experience it. So all you got to do is say, yeah, I'm curious. I'm interested. I want to check this out. So that way you don't have to commit. There's no obligation. Just come in and see it and you'll see how we do the process. Cause there's what we call the 9 laws of learning. We go through those 9 laws and you become authentic in your approach. It's the real you. It's not cloning of Joe Marcoux. We just give you the tools and we allow you to put in the repetitions. So go to SOSDOJOE.com. Come check it out. Love to have you in. And if it's not for you, that's totally okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it is for me and my team, because we put 3 guys through it now and it's, you know, paid off massive dividends. So Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. This is absolutely amazing. SOSDojo.com. And I'm sure we'll have you back, because again, I didn't get through everything, but this was just really, really groundbreaking. And it's going to make a lot of people a lot of money, which is what we are here to do, and also help them get more done in less time. So thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, Craig. Really do. Thank you.
Awesome. And everyone, thank you for watching another episode of the Early to Rise radio show with your host, Craig Valentine. And if you're going to get started with any of the books that Joe mentioned, make sure to go to perfectweekformula.com. Get a free copy of that book. That is, as Joe said, a game changer. And we'll talk to you soon.